This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, I am a boat rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, skeptics, atheists, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course all you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. I'm Tim Brown, editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for our Muslim listeners, the infidel that Allah warned you about, the one that holds to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. I'm filling in for Bradley today, live from the bunker here in the beautiful U.S.-occupied state of South Carolina. If you'd like to call in at any time, the phone lines are accessible at 1-866-582-9933. Please stick to the topic, as we're not doing Chinese buffet, but we will have a guest, hopefully, bottom of the hour, so you'll want to stick around for that. If you're looking for us online, you can find us at sonsoflibertyradio.com and also sonsoflibertymedia.com. Or check us out on Facebook at Sons of Liberty Radio and Sons of Liberty Media. And if you want to follow Bradley, you can go to Facebook, Bradley Dean, B-R-A-D-L-E-E, Dean, and also Bradley Dean 1 on Twitter. Well, we've got a lot of things going on. There could be a number of things that we could talk about different diversions as to what's going through in the central government, whether it is Rhino Care that's being pushed. We're being told that there have been significant changes that are made, that people are getting on board. Well, they might be getting on board. Let's see all those changes, because what I saw is nothing of a repeal of Obamacare, and I don't know why we're getting the verbiage that we're getting from the Republicans, that this takes three phases. We're being told, well, people will lose their health insurance and this, that, and the other. Well, let me ask you something. If there's something catastrophic that happens in a big area and it causes an insurance company to go under, what happens to people? They have to go and get new insurance with a new insurance company, right? And a lot of what we're talking about, at least where Obamacare is concerned, what they're referencing is subsidies for people's insurance. In other words, it's socialism. That's what it is. It is taking from some people to help pay insurance for other people. Now, that's immoral at its foundation. It's unconstitutional as well. So what is the problem with a one-line bill that basically says, everything in the Affordable Care Act hereby is null and void from this date forward, including all funding of any nonprofits that were established by it and their dissolution, as well as every jot and tittle in the bill. I mean, this does not take really lawyers to figure out. And you say, well, there's all these problems are there. Well, if you're going to go down that road, you're never going to get rid of the whole thing. You just aren't. Do what's right. Reverse it back to what is constitutional. Eliminate the whole thing. And from there, since Congress does have the authority per the Constitution to regulate commerce, open that up for a free market. Don't make demands on insurance companies of what they have to provide or what they don't. Let the market determine what they can sell and what they don't sell. You want catastrophic insurance? You know, you can buy that inexpensively. You want the full thing that the government demands now, 10 things that you have to have in an insurance plan, well visits and all this stuff, then fine, you can pay for that stuff too. But let's get back to some constitutional principles when it comes to commerce between the states, not mandating certain things and continuing with socialism, providing, taking from some and providing for others, which really more or less boils down to communism. Let's start dealing with those kinds of things. Speaking of socialism, provided to you on sonsoflibertymedia.com. Remember when Maxine Waters said she wanted to socialize and, quote, take over all the oil companies? You know, she's been in the news recently. Pulled this little tidbit out from 2008 during some hearings where she actually used those terms, socialize and take over all the oil companies. You'll want to share that far and wide, seeing as how the woman is losing her mind about going after Donald Trump for, you know, alleged Russian ties of some evil proportion, for which she's not produced a shred of evidence. She just says, I believe this. Well, that's fine that you believe it. If you got documents on that, please produce them. Otherwise, you're spreading gossip and rumors. You're not doing anything. But when it comes to documentation, guess what we're finding out? Donald Trump and his family were not just spied on by the Obama administration, but they were also spied on by the NSA under the Bush administration, too. For all you Bushites out there, remember it was George W. Bush and the Congress there after 9/11. They wanted to federalize airport security, wanted to give this broad sweeping, you know, surveillance stuff that was, all of it was unconstitutional. Clear violations of the Fourth Amendment. And be surveilling people without warrants and all of this other stuff. Now, sonsoflibertymedia.com, Project Dragnet, the database there, the records that we have show that Trump and his family was not just spied on by Obama, but also under Bush going back to 2004. You'll want to hear Jerome Corsi as he lays some of that evidence out. And we'll have some another article up after the show in which it's being discovered that Sheriff Joe Arpaio, that should be no surprise either, was also under surveillance by the Obama administration. So, again, these are the big fish, if you will. Okay, they're out there. We already know about the NSA, you know, facility that's being built that's going to basically take all of our phone calls, all of our internet transactions, all of these things that are just right out in the open, and they're going to just start dumping all that stuff in there. Now, the problem is they don't have the ability to sit there and go through them one by one. So they're going to build supercomputers, no doubt about that. They're using the quantum technology to do that. That will shift for certain or sift for certain things, and then that stuff will be pulled out, and it'll have to be checked by hand by, you know, people who are in the NSA. The problem with all of that really is, again, you get back to an issue to where they're starting to pull things that they don't have a warrant to do, and they don't have probable cause to do it on either. It's all illegal. It's all a violation of the Constitution. Every single person that took an oath to the Constitution, whether they were elected or whether they were appointed, they are violating that oath. If they back that up, I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. I've heard the Republicans do it, too. In fact, you know, I often compare the two. The Democrats push the welfare state more than the Republicans. And as a result of that, what happens is you get this lawlessness that abounds out of that welfare state. And then the Republicans push the police state. So you get them going back and forth to fix the thing that they're not supposed to. So on the other side of the break, we're going to pick up a couple of things from today's news, including the death of David Rockefeller. Hang on.
Did you know that less than one half of 1% of church funding actually goes towards our posterity? And of the funding that is given, only 3% actually goes towards reaching the lost? And the rest of the money goes toward reaching the already churched? That's unthinkable. We all know that our posterity are the future and hope of America, so why are funds not being allocated to them? For the past 20 years, we here at the Sons of Liberty have been fighting the good fight of faith on a daily basis to make sure that freedom is preserved for both young and old across America. Public school principals, tea parties, detention centers, prisons, and more from across the United States have spoken of our program as the most powerful message that has ever been conveyed to those in attendance. If you desire to be a part of this work, then join together with those across America who have become sons and daughters of Liberty. What that means is you support this work on a monthly basis. It's as easy as going to sonsoflibertyradio.com or sonsoflibertymedia.com and click that button that says Become a Son or Daughter of Liberty. Our posterity can't wait. The time to restore America is now.
Aquanetics H2O has developed the most effective water purification system on the planet. Period. The Solar Hydro is what it's called. The Solar Hydro is a solar backpack system that will take most any contaminated fresh water and cleanse it to a 99.9% purity. That's eradicating bacteria and viruses while safely removing harmful chemicals and toxins. It will even purify water from stagnant ponds. So secure your family's water supply, because you can't drink guns, you can't drink gold, and you surely can't drink ammo. Aquanetics H2O. Contact Alan at 325-200-4343. Again, contact Alan at 325-200-4343 or visit them at aquaneticsh2o.com. Again, that's aquaneticsh2o.com.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
We would be the first one to fire. Of course, we've been preemptive and we've been thinking preemptively for a while now, which I question whether that's a good thing or not. But in any case, here's the stuff coming out of North Korea. I'm sort of with President Ronald Reagan, who wanted to basically make void every single interballistic missile from every other country with the Star Wars program by being able to shoot them out of the sky. Fine, shoot all you want. We're just going to shoot every one of them down and eliminate this whole mutually assured destruction kind of deal. North Korea wants to push that kind of thing. They launch one. I'm fine with retaliation, but for them to be doing this, of course, then there's the question, we have to trust our media that's giving us that, if that's true or not. So we can pray that God would open up eyes and, give wisdom to those who are dealing with these issues rather than submit to a particular propaganda. But at least that's the word coming out of North Korea, that if you guys are going to fire a shot, then we're going to nuke you. Seems extreme, but then they are godless people who are in leadership there. But then I can't say much more for our own, who are giving support to sodomites and those who kill unborn children, which I'm going to speak about in just a moment. Question, was the recent White House intruder a Pizzagate whistleblower? Really, you need to check this article out, the videos that are there of this young man. And I was looking for a picture to go up with it. And I came across a picture that looks like this guy where he's talking about living out the gospel. So it's kind of a strange thing that I'm seeing here. It's a lot different than what the media is portraying. But these are some videos there that you will hear from this guy talking about the pedophilia and things that were going on, saying he needed to speak with Mr. Trump. He was from California. He goes from one coast to the other, tries to get in. And you say, well, he shouldn't have went and done that. And I agree, he probably shouldn't. But I want you to think back to another person who risked their life to go before the king on behalf of their people. Do you remember Queen Esther? She was told, don't go. Don't go. If you go, they'll kill you. You're not supposed to do that. And she prayed about it and she went. Now, I'm not saying this guy is a Christian. I'm not. He may be or may not. It looked like that one thing that I saw may be him, maybe a different guy. But he had the same name, looked exactly the same, except his hair was a little longer in that picture. But the point I'm trying to make is, Bradley's talked about not necessarily trusting the mainstream media where you can't verify these things. And so we do have some information that's laid out there. Michael DePinto put that together. And so I suggest strongly you look at that. One other thing before we get to this other story that I want to talk about. Trump admin provides requirements for border wall, and a surprising number of contractors are Hispanic-owned. I think there's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 40 who have put forth proposals to construct the wall on the southern border. Now, getting to some of what I talked about before, Sons of Liberty Media.com, self-proclaimed conservative, and I might add she also says she's a Christian, Tommy Lauren says she is pro-baby murder. Okay, she didn't say that. She said she's pro-choice, but we all know what that means. Pro-choice to murder your baby. That's what they don't never finish that. They never finish that. And here's why she's wrong. This is an article that as soon as I saw it, I thought this was one of the things I thought about this young lady the first time I saw her. I think that the first time she really made national headlines was in a speech following the Chattanooga shooting. Remember when the Islamic Jihad, he was shooting up all the National Guard places and stuff there in Chattanooga. And she made that very powerful statement. I agreed completely with her on it. But then she got this really big platform that she started speaking off of. And it's not sexist or anything, but I saw it as nothing more than eye candy, and she's kind of saying what people want to hear. But here's the problem. The conservative movement has long went away from what it used to be in the early 20th century. Okay, it's went way beyond that. We're engaged in warmongering. Eisenhower warned about that with the military-industrial complex. And other things you think about, you know, we got people on the other side of the world that we're more concerned about than we are the people that we have let come in here who have the same ideology as those people. And yet we're spending millions of dollars. We're sacrificing our sons and daughters over there in a foreign land that is a pagan land. And we continue to fall into that same trap. And while we face domestic enemies here from our own government. Okay, but here, Tommy, she goes on The View, obviously the more politically correct show to go on, and the host seemed to catch on to what was going on. Said, you know, you call yourself a conservative Republican and a constitutional conservative, but isn't it a little, you know, I don't know, hypocritical for you to hold that while also being pro-choice? And, of course, Tommy says that she is pro-choice. Now, the reasons are pretty bizarre because there's no foundation in them. When the host said, it's interesting to her, since 68% of conservative Republicans think that abortion should be illegal across the board. Well, of course it should be. I don't think this is an issue of a federal issue. I think the states deal with it because the states, this happens in the state. This is not something that crosses state lines. This is something that happens within the states and for which the states are charged with prosecuting murder. Okay? It's pretty simple. But here's what she said. She said, I'm pro-choice, and here's why. I'm a constitutional, you know, someone that loves the Constitution. I'm someone that's for limited government. She went on to say, so I can't sit here and be a hypocrite and say I'm for limited government, but I think government shouldn't decide or should decide what women do with their bodies. I can sit here and say that as a Republican, and I can say, you know what, I'm for limited government, so stay out of my guns, and you can stay out of my body as well. Okay, first of all, by saying I can't sit here and be a hypocrite, she is saying every person listening to me who is a conservative constitutionalist and a Christian, if you believe in limited government, really limited government, okay, with no socialism, if you believe in real limited government, and you believe that abortion is murder, then you are a hypocrite. Now, I took a couple of things. Because government is limited to a particular function, and the Bible tells us what that function is. It is to punish evildoers and to praise those who do good. Period. That's it. That's their function. Romans 13, 1-5. Even when we're talking about defending ourselves, that comes within the context of the people, not the government. And I know we often talk about in our culture here, in our form of government, that the government is the people. But what I'm distinguishing is we give authority, to our representatives to represent us in government. But when it comes to actual fighting to defend, if someone was to invade, guess who that falls upon? Well, that falls upon the people. Do you think any of those politicians up there, any of the representatives, or any of the statesmen are going to go fight? Really? Maybe a handful of them. The rest of them is going to be me and you to defend our own homes, to defend our neighbors, to defend our states. Okay? So government really has the function of punishing evildoers. How do we determine evildoers? Well, the Bible lays it out. It lays out the moral law of God. And it gives punishments for those things. Not everything is a death penalty. Some things are capital crimes. Some things require restitution. Some things are civil matters in which things are sorted out between the two parties there. And so that's what government is. True limited government is to punish evildoers. That's it. That's it. Okay? But she doesn't have a leg to stand on when she talks about being constitutional. Publius Hold has written a great article on the 14th Amendment and how it's been used judicially to try to institute abortion and the redefinition of marriage and claim that homosexuality is okay and states cannot legislate against that. And when she gets down and goes through things of the framers of the Constitution and what they wrote, and when she looks at what the Constitution actually says regarding these things, guess what she finds out? She asks the question, is anything about abortion, homosexual contact, or marriage expressly contained in the U.S. Constitution? No. That's the constitutional side. On the biblical side, it says, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. You don't have a God-given right to murder an unborn child. Stay with us on the other side of the break. We'll pick things up there. Hang on.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
To the Sons of Liberty. This is Tim Brown. I'm the editor at SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, filling in for Bradley today. Just in case you were tuning in to listen to his voice today, you're getting to hear mine. And on the line, we have with us Dan Pila. He is the nation's leader in taxpayers' rights defense and IRS abuse prevention and cure. He's the author of a number of books, dozens of research reports, and hundreds of articles. And we're happy to have him with us on the line to answer a few questions about the IRS as we approach the tax deadline. So welcome, Dan. We're glad to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's get right to it because we've got about half an hour, so let's talk. What's your story and how did you get into this industry?
Yeah, I've been a tax litigation consultant for about, well, it's over 35 years now. I got started as a result of problems my father had with the IRS. He had a small business, a printing business in our hometown of St. Paul, Minnesota. In the early 1970s, he got behind on his employees withholding taxes and managed to build up a fairly considerable tax liability for those days. In 1974, the IRS padlocked the doors and then auctioned the equipment off for a couple cents on the dollar. And then, so that effectively put him out of business, of course. And then in 1977-78, the IRS turned their attention to our family home and tried to seize and sell it for the back tax liability, and that's how I got started. I got involved just strictly as a matter of desperation, trying to help my family solve the tax problem. And, you know, I got kind of a baptism of fire into IRS procedural issues and taxpayers' rights issues and problems resolution strategies, and I've been doing that ever since.
Now, were you able to help that situation out, especially with regards to your family's house?
Yeah, it was, and in fact, what happened is, you know, I remember coming home one day to my mother's home, and she was sitting at the table, and she handed me this envelope from the IRS, and she says, "What do you make of this?" And I, you know, I read it, and I said, "Well, it looks like they're going to try to seize the house." And she said, "Well, what do we do about it?" And I, of course, I didn't know what to do. I had no idea. I was about 18, 19 years old at the time. So what I did do is I went across the cross town. We lived on the edge of downtown St. Paul. I went across town to the other side of town to the local law school over there. I went into the law library, and I started fumbling around in the Internal Revenue Code. I mean, just literally fumbling in the Internal Revenue Code, and stumbled onto an area of the tax code that deals with taxpayers' rights issues and limits the power of the IRS. And I started reading in this section. I didn't get six pages into this particular provision of the code, and I discovered that the IRS was proceeding illegally to seize my mother's home. You see, my father had the tax liability. It was his business. It was employment taxes. She had nothing to do with the business, had nothing to do with the tax returns, didn't sign them. They weren't personal tax returns. It was business returns, and yet they're trying to take her house to satisfy his tax liability. And so, you know, I could see from the law that was not proper. And so I did what any 18-year-old would do under the circumstances. I sued the IRS. You know, I pasted together this Mickey Mouse lawsuit based on the books and stuff that I saw in the library there. And very soon after filing that case, I found myself in a federal court in Minneapolis, and arguing my case. And the IRS flew an attorney in from the tax division in the Department of Justice in Washington D.C. And you know, they wanted to have my case thrown out, of course. And I stood up in front of the judge and I said, "Judge, you know, the law says this, and they're trying to do something that's in direct violation of the law, and they shouldn't be allowed to get away with it." And my argument was about that polished, you know, and I I said just about that much, and I sat down, and this attorney gets up and he starts blathering things about court cases this and statutes that, and I just didn't have any idea what the guy was talking about. But he, you know, he went on for 15, 20 minutes, and when he was done, he sat down, and the judge looked at him and pointed at me and said, "He's right," and he slammed the gavel, and that was that. So I was able to stop him from taking the house, and I've been stopping him ever since.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a great story. Great story. How many people experience stuff like that, maybe, that deal with tax debt and IRS issues, and what are the most common problems that they face?
Well, I'll tell you right now, there's upwards of 25 million people that got some kind of problem with the IRS, and that number's been, you know, it's been up and down, but over the last 10 years, it's been going up steadily, primarily because of all the problems that the people have had, you know, during this recent recession that started in about 2008 and pushed through, you know, 2013, 2014, in some ways, and in some areas we're still dealing with it. But there, you know, there's millions of people out there that have got tax debt that they owe and can't pay, and there's, you know, depending on the situation, there's always a way to deal with that. You know, so you've got, and I'll just give you another example. Every single year in and year out, for as long as I've been paying attention, there's been upwards of between 3 to 4.5 million people that file their tax returns every single year that can't pay the taxes they owe. Now you add to that the number of people who have stopped filing returns altogether. You know, the IRS estimates that there's, you know, as many as 8 to 9 million known non-filers. That is to say, people that the IRS knows or at least believes should be filing a tax return that are not filing a return. And then who knows how many additional ones aren't filing that the IRS doesn't know about, you know, because obviously you don't send the IRS a letter in the mail on April 14th saying, you know, "Dear IRS, I'm not filing my tax return tomorrow." You know, people don't do that. And so, you know, to the extent that folks have gone underground, we just don't know how many there are. So, I mean, there's tens of millions of people out there that have got tax debt problems like my father had. The remarkable difference between then and now is because of changes that have been made to the Internal Revenue Code, primarily changes through the IRS Restructuring and Reform Act that was passed in 1998-1999. There's more rights in the tax code now that can keep the IRS from running people over, if you know what those rights are.
Okay, all right. Well, what's the best way to handle an IRS audit if you get a letter from them saying they're going to audit you? What's the best way to deal with that?
Well, the first thing you got to do with an audit situation, of course, an audit is different than a tax debt. You know, when you file your tax return and you owe the IRS $5,000, you know you owe the money, and now it's just a matter of you know, how can you pay it? An audit is completely different because you filed your tax return, and, you know, you think you're all square with the IRS until they start looking at the return, and then they disallow this or they disallow that. You know, now they send you a bill. I've got a bill right in front of me here from a client that's going through a tax audit right now for tax year 2014, and I'm just page through it here real quick. They say this guy owes $15,500 now as a result of disallowed deductions and so forth disallowed deductions that they deemed are not proper. Of course, he's got an appeal right, but what you need to understand going into these audits, and this is the great confusion that people have in dealing with tax audits, is people do not understand where the burden of proof is. The burden of proof lies with the taxpayer. When you're in an audit situation, the IRS never has to prove you made a mistake. You have to prove you did it right. So that means you've got to present documentation to the IRS that supports the deductions that you claimed on the tax return. Now, if you submit the deductions and the IRS still disallows the deduction, that's what happened in this case that we're talking about right now, it is not uncommon for these tax auditors to just simply ignore your paperwork. And when that happens, people need to understand that you've got a right to appeal. No decision of a tax auditor is ever final. You always have the right to challenge that opinion. When you challenge the opinion, the processing of the case goes out of the hands of the examination function and into the hands of the appeals office. Now, there's a remarkable difference. The job of the examination function, the auditors, is to cause problems with taxpayers, and the job of the appeals office is to solve problems with taxpayers. So that's obviously where you want to be. And generally speaking, you got 30 days to file that simple appeal letter to get your case kicked into the appeals office. And here's the important thing about this. 88% of every let me rephrase it and say it this way: the IRS's own statistics indicate that their audit results are wrong between 60-90% of the time, and yet 88% of the people who go through a tax audit end up owing more money. So I mean, it is remarkable how many people end up paying taxes they don't owe because they don't understand how to challenge the audit results.
I see. And some of the rights that taxpayers have when they deal with the IRS over this. And a question I want to ask you that maybe you're not comfortable answering, but it kind of comes down to this. If you've seen Andrew Russo's Freedom to Fascism, and one of the things he asked was, is there a specific law where people have to file, where they're mandated by the government to file that?
Absolutely. Let me address that because it's a common argument that's been out there. First of all, I've been doing this for 35 years, and there's been all kinds of what I call untaxed arguments out there. In other words, arguments that suggest that the Internal Revenue Code doesn't apply to American citizens, it only applies to resident aliens, that the tax laws are unconstitutional, the tax laws are voluntary. As you allude to, there's an argument that says there's no law that requires you to file a tax return or pay taxes. This is just all not true. It's all nonsense. The fact of the matter is that we've got an Internal Revenue Code that creates substantial burdens on taxpayers, not the least of which is the responsibility to file tax returns when your income hits a certain threshold and to pay taxes when your income falls into the various tax brackets. And there's just simply no question about that. And in fact, on my website, taxhelponline.com is my website. That's all one word, no spaces of any kind, taxhelponline.com. There's a section on the site under resources and publications where I have some free special reports. These are downloadable reports. There's no charge for them whatsoever, so you can download a report called the Untaxed Promise. And in that report, I go through and analyze a number of these untaxed arguments, including the idea that there's no law that requires you to file a tax return. And I debunk these things very, very specifically with legal authorities that have been on the books for, in some cases, many decades that prove that these arguments just are not valid. They do not work. And so I would encourage your listeners to stay away from that stuff.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your answer on that. If you'll hang on with us through the break, we'll join Dan again and pick up some more questions for him. Stay on the line with us, Dan. We'll be right back.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747. Or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hi, my name is Terry, and I am a daughter of Liberty. I've been listening to Bradley Dean on sonsoflibertyradio.com now for about 6 months. Bradley has inspired me for the first time in my life to stand up for godly principles upon which this country was founded. He has reminded me that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thank you, Bradley Dean.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-958-9659. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-958-9659. That's 1-800-958-9659. 1-800-958-9659.
You may own a knife, but if it's not an Indie hammered knife, it's not a knife. From the forge to the grinder to the sheath, each Indie hammered knife is handcrafted using God-given talent. The result is the sharpest edge a knife can have, and a true work of art. See a variety of knives and the complete knife kit at ihknives.com. Indie hammered knives. Custom knives. Made in America.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. On the line, we've got Dan Pila from TaxHelpOnline.com, TaxHelpOnline.com. And before the break, we were talking about IRS audits, and as well as filing taxes and things like that. And people are getting ready to go ahead and do that this tax season. And so, Dan, you got any specific advice you want to give people who are filing this time and maybe dealing with even back taxes or non-filers? We got into that a little bit before the break.
Yeah, that's a good direction to go in right now, because, as I said, we've got so many people out there that are going to owe taxes on April 15th, and I don't want these people to make a mistake, all right? If you owe taxes come April 15th, what not to do is don't fail to file the tax return. In other words, you must file the return even if you don't have the money to pay. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, gee, Dan, if I file the tax return and I owe money to the IRS, they're going to kick the door in and, you know, take away everything I have. Well, no, the answer is that is absolutely not going to happen, and we can talk about that in just a minute. But let me talk about what the alternatives are. There's a couple of things you can do that is going to help you tremendously in dealing with the IRS if you owe money you can't pay. First of all, you're going to file the return on time, as I said. If you don't file, they will add the failure to file penalty penalty to the tax bill, and that'll add insult to injury in a big way because the failure to file penalty is up to 25% of the tax. So we want to avoid that. So the next thing to keep in mind is if you owe an amount of money that you think you can pay within 6 months, then the best strategy to use is to get IRS Form 1127, Form 1127. It's called an application for an extension of time to pay the taxes. And if you submit that form on or before April 15th, you can file it right with your tax return. You can get up to 6 additional months to pay your taxes without any penalties whatsoever. And we're talking about the failure to pay penalty now as well. So you can try that strategy if you think you're going to owe an amount of money that you can pay within 6 months. If you can't pay within 6 months, you know you're not going to be able to pay within 6 months, then go to Plan B. And Plan B is to use Form 9465. Form 9465 is called an installment agreement request, and that'll set the wheels in motion to get you set up on an installment agreement. Now, here's the important aspect of the installment agreement request. When you submit that, the IRS is legally precluded from taking any enforcement action against you whatsoever. So, in other words, there's no risk that they're going to kick the door in. There's no risk they're going to take your paycheck or bank account or seize any property. They cannot do it once you've started this negotiation process going. And so that's very, very important. If you owe fewer than less than $50,000, it's a pretty simple matter to get the installment agreement set up. And in my book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, I lay that out for you. I got 2 chapters in that book that show you exactly how to negotiate an installment agreement with the IRS where you can pay over time. Now, if you're struggling with back taxes, you mentioned that. There's a lot of people that are on what I call the tax debt treadmill, where you're using current tax revenue to pay back taxes, and every year that goes by, you end up paying more money because you're making these payments to the IRS. You've got to get off the tax debt treadmill, and you do that by exercising what I call Pillow's first rule of tax debt management. And what that means is, if you've got money to pay the current taxes or money to pay the back taxes, but not both, never pay the back taxes. Get yourself into a situation where you're paying the current taxes. So, in other words, we're in 2017 now. Your resources have to be used to pay the 2017 tax liability. If you're an employee working for another company, you've got to make the adjustments to your W-4 form so they take the correct amount of money out of your paycheck. If you're self-employed, you got to make the estimated payments on a quarterly basis on time so that you get into a situation where you're current. If you are current with your return filings and your tax payments, the IRS will play ball with you on the back tax liability. You can negotiate some kind of settlement. If you're not current, they're not going to play ball with you, and it just doesn't make any difference how much you owe, whether it's $10 or $10 million. They're not going to play ball if you don't get current. So it's important for those folks that have been struggling with delinquent taxes going back several years, jump to the head of the line, as it were. Get yourself set up so you're paying the proper amount for 2017. Get those delinquent returns filed, and then we can play ball with the IRS. We can get some settlement.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Speaking of which, when we're talking, we've heard this executive order come out from the White House regarding trying to be lenient, the IRS be lenient on people, and some people have mentioned, was it line 61 or whatever, where it's asking whether you had health insurance or not, and there's been advice not to, that you can fill that or not, and then we've got the reports from the IRS that they're not going to do that. They're going to keep doing things the way they've been doing. When it comes to the issue of these penalties for not purchasing health insurance, under Obamacare, what advice do you have for people who are getting hit with that?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. I mean, just last week and this morning, I've been putting the finishing touches on my April newsletter, in which I discuss the Trump executive order regarding the Obamacare penalties, and I discuss the Obamacare penalties in detail. There are 2 penalties. There's actually 1 penalty, and then there's a tax liability. The penalty is the so-called shared responsibility payment. If you don't have proper government-approved insurance, they hit you with this penalty. It's called a shared responsibility penalty, and that can be up to 2.5% of your income this year. It's a pretty substantial penalty in many cases. And then the other penalty is, not penalty, the other liability is the repayment of the advanced tax credit, premium tax credit, that's available if your income is under certain amounts then the government will help you fund your health care premiums, and if your income goes over certain amounts, then you have to pay that credit back. And those are the two liabilities. Now, I've analyzed the Trump executive order. It does not instruct any agency to stop enforcing the law. As a matter of fact, what it says is the order asks agency heads to use their, quote, authority and discretion, unquote, to waive or defer or grant exemptions from certain penalties and so on. Well, the IRS doesn't have the discretion to stop enforcing specific provisions of the law. All right? The shared responsibility penalty is under Code Section 5000, and the advanced premium tax credit payment is under Code Section 36. These are specific provisions of the Internal Revenue Code that were passed by Congress. Of course, under the Affordable Care Act in 2010 is when they were passed, but they're laws on the books today that the IRS is fully capable of enforcing and has been enforcing for the last several years as these provisions have phased into being, and they don't have the authority or discretion to just stop doing it. The executive order, in my opinion, and I say this in the article, the executive order, in my opinion, is largely symbolic in that it declares that it's the intent of the President of the United States to seek the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, and because the intention of the administration is to seek the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, then, you know, to the extent that these agencies have discretion, the President wants them to back off. But the fact is, as I said, these two provisions that we're talking about are law, they're legal provisions, and the executive agencies don't have the authority to do that. Now, having said that, Paul Ryan and the House leadership introduced into Congress on March 6th, I think it was, or maybe it was the 9th, anyway, earlier this month, what they call the American Health Care Act. And the American Health Care Act would repeal those two provisions of the tax code if it gets passed. But, of course, it hasn't been passed yet. So those provisions are still on the books, and they're enforceable, and you got to expect the IRS to, in fact, enforce them.
Right, and some of those things, we're running out of time here, but some of those things are tied also to things that we don't want to see within that bill. I mean, there's a question of, you know, are there things that you would like to see made change in the tax code? Is there not a way that we as a country can make our way back to where there's not an income tax? Is there a way that we can do that?
In my opinion, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, if I had my way, I'd repeal the whole doggone tax code, all 4 million words of it. As far as I'm concerned, the only viable alternative to an income tax is a national retail sales tax, because that's the only provision properly established that would eliminate the IRS and eliminate the tremendous burdens that taxpayers have in complying with this law the way it's currently structured. So, you know, I don't believe that tinkering around the edges of the current tax code is going to do any good. We've been doing that for 40 years. I've been in this business for over 35 years. Every single year after year, there's some change to the tax code. As a matter of fact, between the year 2000 and currently, there have been, get ready for this now, there have been 5,900 changes to the Internal Revenue Code, tinkering around the edges. People are so completely exhausted with the tax code. I'm talking about people in my position, tax professionals, and individuals too are completely exhausted with these tax code changes that are just tinkering around the edges.
It's not been done at all. Well, Dan, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us. You can find out about Dan at taxhelponline.com, or you can give him a call at 1-800-553-6458. Thanks so much, Dan. We'll talk to you in 23.
President Trump is cleaning up Washington, but the media and Barack Obama want to stop him. They've declared total war against him. Now, David Horowitz's Big Agenda reveals Obama's secret plan to destroy Trump. Rush Limbaugh says you must read Big Agenda. Newsmax calls it the best Trump book yet. Get Big Agenda, a number one bestseller, or check out our free offer. Call 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or go online at BigAgenda411.com. That's BigAgenda411.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.